Okay, today I want to discuss with you the letter
Dalet,
the fourth letter of the Aleph base. Before we begin, I want to mention, first thing you have to mention is there are two different Dalets. Dalet is part of the set of letters of Beged Kosef, which means sometimes Dalet is Degusha, there's a dat in the Dalet, and sometimes Dalet does not have a dat. Now, as far as we're concerned, we pronounce it, it's this art of differentiating between the Dalet without the dat, and the Dalet with the dat has been lost from most of us. We pronounce the Dalet the same way. If it has a Dalet, when it comes to a bays and a vays, so Ashkenazim still have the tradition to differentiate between a vase and a base, a chof and a kuf, a sof and a tuf. Beged, that's a shin and a sin. That's different. That's not a degusha. That's a whole different issue. It's a different issue. A sin and a shin. But we have, beged. So, but probably, what about there are more letters in this set. Beged kosev, a fey and a pay, right? A fey and a pay. Beged kesef, kefes. Beged kefes. So the bays and the vays we have, the kefes, the chof and the kof, the fey and the pay, and the sof and the tof. But there are two more letters in this set. There is the gimel and the dalet. So we learned gimel last week. There's a rimel and a gimel. We don't do it. We don't do it anymore. For whatever reason. No. A mapike. That's a mapike. That's an end. That's an emphasis that comes at the end. But that's only at the end of a word. That's not part of the beged kosef. There's no differentiation between. Okay, you say, it's an end letter. It's an emphasis. Okay, you're right. In a certain degree, it's pronounced a little bit differently. Not everyone has. Everyone makes differentiates between a mapike and a non-mapike. But the mapike only comes at the end, which normally is silent. So in order to emphasize it, that it's not silent, we have the dot. But it's not really a change in the pronunciation. Generally, the hay is silent.
It's for possession.
Okay. But when it comes to the gimel, we have two different types of gimel. We have a rimel and a gimel. Okay, now, we don't know. Okay. We have also two different types of dalets. Valid and dalet. The real way to pronounce a dalet without a dot is a th. The. Could be, I'm wrong. Could be it's more similar to a zayin. The and the. There's supposed to be a very fine difference between a Zion and a Dalet. I don't know, by me, there's a very big difference. Zuh and Vuh, maybe it's not such a big difference. Okay, but these.
A combination like a DZ.
Maybe it is a combination, I don't know. But I was taught that it's really Zuh, TH, but when I read, it's very similar to a Zion, but it's not a Dalet. So the way we pronounce it, we pronounce everything one sound, dalet, but again there are two, and this explains the age-old question. Chazal tell us that a person is required to be marach in the dalet of a shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. And if a person is marach, he extends the dalet of Echad, he will be zochah to arich hasyam. Kol marach be dalet Echad will merit long life. How is it possible to be marich, to extend the dalet of Echad? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What are you going to do? But the dalet in Echad does not have a dot. And therefore the real way to pronounce the dalet is Echad. It's a TH. So it's very easy to extend the dot. Now don't try this because that's not the way we do it today. So if you do it today, it's even Shalchi Yotza. Because we don't do it like this. The language that itself is a topic in and of itself is that the way we pronounce the letters in halacha, for some reason, follows the convention, the way it's accepted in society. Today we don't do it. It's dalet. I mean, there are people that do it. There are people that they pronounce the I in different shma, guttural sound, shma. Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. There are people that do it. I know only for the dalet. All right, but. That's one simple point I want to make. Now, look at. Okay, now the letter Dalet, I don't have to tell you, we're not going to go, is a very popular letter in Chazal. I'll just rattle off million Dalets. We know there are four Imahos, there are four worlds in Kabbalah. There are the Olam Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Nasiya. Pesach is all about the number four. The four Lashonos of Gula, the four Kaisais, the four Banim, the four questions. Even matzah, you have three matzahs, but you break the middle matzah, so you have a total of four matzahs. Everything about Pesach is dala, dala, dala. So obviously the number dala is very significant in our religion. What? That's right. Dalet Amos. That's right. That's very good. Dalminim. Even the letters themselves in Chazal are broken up into four parts. The letter itself, what a letter looks like. Then there are the tagim, the crowns. The crowns have a whole different, it's a different world. And we Ksav Ashuris, there are crowns. Every letter has to get a certain crown in a certain way. And those crowns, if they're not written in the Sefer Torah, it's kosher, but it's not Mehudar. The crowns are a different league. It's a different, they add a different dimension to the letters. And then there are the vowels, which are silent, which we don't see, we pronounce, but it's not written in the Ksav. And then there are the ta'anin. There's the trop. So every single letter really has four parts. The letter itself, the tagim, the vowels, which is called the nikud, and the ta'ane hamikra, which really refers to the word in its entirety. But there are four, in Chazal, there are four different parts to the oisiyos in the Torah. Two which are revealed, and two which are concealed. So you see, the number four obviously is a very significant number. Like, the most significant number, and thing about number four is Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem's name has four letters. And I mean, all over, we talk to the Sfardim, and Hashem's name, the whole world revolves around Hashem's name, the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei is number four. Okay. So these are just some just short things I want to relate that. One thing which is very significant, which I don't know what it means, but just something to think about, is that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, Hareini no es kivodecha. I want to see what you look like. Obviously, Moshe didn't want to see a physical understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not so foolish to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has any physical form. That's apikorsis. But Moshe, Hareini no es kvodecha. Let me understand you the best that a human being can possibly understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem said to Moshe, no. Hashem said, no. Ponai lo yeirohu. A human being cannot comprehend this concept that you're asking of Rias Ponim. But what I can do for you, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the highest that a man can reach in spirituality, I'll show you my back. I'll show you my back, but upon I lo yeirohu. And Chazal tells us, the Torah tells us, that Hashem told Moshe, stand on the rock, and I'm going to pass, and as I pass, you'll be able to see my achorai. And what did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the back? What did Hashem show Moshe? The back. What's the back? The Kesher Shel Tfilin. And what is the Kesher Shel Tfilin? A Dalet. It's either a single Dalet or a double Dalet. A whole new concept, by the way. A double Dalet, a single Dalet, a double Dalet. But whatever it is, it's a Dalet. And that's a very deep concept, which means, what does this mean? I don't know the answer, but we have to appreciate what this means. When discussing the letters of the Alphabet, discussing the letter of Dalet, is that the way a human being can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can see and relate, is through the letter Dalet. Very significant point. Hashem says to Moshe, I want to see. No. Achora yeirohu. How? Through the Dalet. Dalet, and in fact, Dalet, as we just said, it is everything. Pesach, Hashem's name, the Oisiyos, even Yom Kippur. Kohanim, they wear four begadim. The Kohen girl goes in Lefnai v'Lefnim wearing four begadim. He goes in Lefnai v'Lefnim how many times? Four times in Yom Kippur. The number four is all over the place. It's all over the place. This is the way we human being can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the letter Dalet. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a very significant idea. The Dalet of the large Dalet. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In the Sefer Torah, the Dalet is massive. Right? In Tefillin, in Sefer Torah, it's a very large Dalet Echad. Why is the Dalet large? Okay, so there are many things to speak about. Let's focus on one idea, one thing at a time. There's another pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Kisisa, where it says, "Lo sishtachavel el acher." Don't bow down to another god. It's a very big resh. Sefer Torah. It's that's what we have. We almost so we have a big resh. We have a big resh on Sefer Torah. It's a very big resh. So Chazal have come along and have told us that this resh and this dalet are very much interrelated. We look at the dalet, oh, it's a very big dalet. Why is it a big dalet? We can give a whole number of reasons. I'll tell you some other reasons later on. You know, don't be so focused. Don't be when you concentrate just on the dalet. Look at the big picture. The dalet has to be viewed together with the resh of lo sishtachavel el acher. Because if you dalet, the only difference between a dalet and a resh, maker hadin, is a teeny little dot. Now you have to be careful because it's not the way we write today. Today, the minhag, the custom, we write a dalet, the top of the dalet comes out. The leg is a little bit off the end. That's only a convention. That's only a chumrah. Me'ikar hadin, if you go to a sefer, let's say the sefer would forget to write that little extension on the top of the dalet, and would just have a line on top, and will come a direct 90-degree angle. Kasha lechatchila, not b'diyavet. Lechatchila, that's really the way you dalet. For whatever reason, in order not to make the dalet anyway become a resh, it came the minhag over time, exactly how to extend it. So when you extend it, there's no way you can possibly make a mistake between a dalet and a resh. But me'ikar hadin, a dalet is just a 90-degree angle. You come to the end, and you go right down. That means, what is a resh? A resh, you don't come to a perfect point, you just come to a little curve. The difference between a dalet and a resh is a teeny little dot. That's the difference. If Chas Hashem, we read in Sefer Torah, Shema Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher, Hashem is something else. That's apikorsis. That opens up a whole world of apikorsis. Hashem is not one. Hashem is Acher. He's outside. He's an outsider. We have other gods. This god called Hashem, Chas Shalom, he's not part of the set of gods. We couldn't be any greater apikorsis than this. Hashem is Echad. That's one of the reasons why it's really the big dalet. Make sure that dad is there. What's the other pasuk? Lo sishtachaver, lo sishtachaver. Do not bow down. Le'el acher. Don't bow down to another god. Acher. So we don't le'el acher. If you would change, if you would make that resh into a dalet, don't bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Echad. So there's this very great danger not to differentiate between one and the other. Now here comes the drush. The Gemara tells about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, when he was a sofer. Rabbi Meir, we have different indications. He was a scribe. He wrote Sefer Torah, and when he wrote, he added special ink into his dioy that the letter should not get erased. And his primary concern was that when he wrote the word Hashem Echad, that the dalet, he used special ink that should not get erased, because he was afraid that a zavuv, a fly, may come along, a fly, land on the Sefer Torah and pluck off a little drop, that little dot of the Echad, and make it into Acher. So he added special ingredients into the ink to make sure that even if a fly would sit down on the dalet, the fly would not have the ability to take off that little corner dot and make it from Echad to Acher. So the question is, what is the deeper meaning of this? Come on, he's afraid the flies are going to come over there. There must be some greater depth in this. So there are many different parts, ways you could attack. First, we have to know that Meir had a Rebbe. His Rebbe's name was what was the name of his Rebbe? Ben Avuya. What was the first name?
Elisha
Ben Avuya. Who is Elisha ben Avuya? He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. What happened to him? He was at risk. he went off. He went off. And why did he go off? Whenever he went off, and he was called Acher. They called him the Gemara. His original teachings were preserved. Rabbi Meir would still go and learn by him, even after he became, to some degree, not 100%. And the Rabbanan said, how are you allowed to go to him? What kind of business? You're going, you're learning by an apikoros, a person that's not a believer? So he says, I'm very careful. I only extract the good stuff, And the bad stuff I leave aside. I can do this. Not everyone knows how to do this, but I can do this. But he was called in Chazal Acher. Acherim Oimrim. Sometimes in Chazal we do quote him because he said things before he went off, before he became problematic. His original teachings were A-OK, and we refer to him. But we don't want to give him credit because he was Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, so we call him Acher. Rabbi Meir, when he wrote a Sefer Torah, he was very concerned about Echad, that it should not turn into an Acher. What's all this about? So we're afraid of the Zavuf. Now let's go to the other pasuk. Lo sish tachavel le'el acher. I don't like to get too mystical, too gematrius, but over here we have no choice. And the Rakeach and others developed this theme in great length, and they explained that Amolek is the same gematria, numerical value, as El Acher. Same exact thing. A foreign God. The God El Acher. Whatever that means, this it means that you don't have to believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Acher. Everything in this world happens by coincidence. There's no Ashkacha Pratis. That is the essence of Amolek. Amolek is trying to deny the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They were our first enemy. Reish is going Amolek. We went to the middle, they tried to attack us. They were jealous of us, and they tried Esav. They are the El Acher. The Zavuv is Amalek. Okay, there are different references to this. The Baal HaTurim in Parashas B'Shalach. So Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says that the Zavuv in Chazal, the fly, Zavuv is a fly. The Zavuv represents Amalek. Where Rabbi Meir was doing, wasn't just time, he was putting in ingredients. He was telling us, I have a Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha. He went off the Derech. He went off. Because the Koyach of Amalek, this apikursis that exists in this world to deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fail to acknowledge everything happens by Hashkacha Pratis, is Amalek. And when there's Amalek, Amalek just the difference, just a teeny little dot. That's all it is. If Amalek comes and attacks a holy person and puts a little doubt in his mind, he can turn a person, that's the Zvuv, can turn a person from being Makir Hashem is Echad to becoming an apikoris, becoming like a Amalek, and becoming Hashem Acher. And that's what happened to his Rebbe, and that's why he was so sensitive, that's why his Rebbe was called an Acher, because he went from Echad, a believer in Hashem Echad, to a believer to Hashem Acher, and that's why he was so sensitive in making sure in his Sefer Torah, not just in the Sefer Torah, but teaching, don't let the Zvuv, the Yetzer Hara, he seems very innocent, but don't let there be any doubt in your mind for one moment that there's anything in this world other than HaKadosh Baruch. Everything that happens is Hashkacha Pratis, Hashem is Echad, and don't let that little dot come into your mind and make change from Hashem Echad to Hashem Acher. And that's why these two psukim go together. Now we go even further. Milchama LaHashem BaMolek, we say in Mishalach and Purim Wilein that Milchama, what's up with Kiyod Al Keiska? Hashem's hand is Al Keiska, Hashem has made a Shavua. He lifted up his sin on the Kisya Kavod, Ki Yorak is called, Milchama Bashem Bamolek Midor Dor, from generation to generation. Dor, what's this funny Midor Dor? Milchama Bashem Bamolek, Lo'oilam. If you were writing the Torah, what would you write? Milchama Bashem Bamolek, Lo'oilam Voel, Lenetzach Netzachem. Something like that. What's this expression, Midor Dor? So, what is Dor Dor? Dalad Resh. What's the Muhammad? The Muhammad is that Amalek, the whole essence of Amalek is they've taken the Pasuk in the Torah, Lo Sish Tachavel Le'el Acher, and the Pasuk Hashem Echad, and they have interchanged it. It's a little difference of a Zuv. The Zvuv has come and taken the dot of ink from the Dalit, Hashem Echad, and put it, transferred it, and put the little dot of ink where it says Le'el Acher. That Lo Sish Tachavel Hashem Le'el Echad. Hashem is very upset. Mela, the way Hashem describes my Muhammad is because what you have done is Lador Dar. You've interchanged the Dalit to the Resh. And that's why it's described as Lador Dar. Because Dor Dar are the letters Dalit Resh, Dalit Resh. Another example of this idea. First of all, Dor Dar, if you take out the blank space, is Dar Dar. What does Dar Dar mean? Koitz Vidar Dar, Dar Dar, or Dar Dar? Dardar Tatsmiach Lach.
Thorn.
Coats is a thorn. That was the curse. Adam Harishon, the 8th and the 8th Adas, coats, vidardar, tatsmiach lach. Thorns and thistles will blossom. The earth is cursed. So a dardar is a thorn. It's a teeny little dot. What's a thorn? A thorn is a teeny little thing. Milchama la Hashem ba molek midardar. Take out the blank space. Dardar. Because of that teeny little dot. In other words, same idea, but just focusing on a different angle. Because what is Amalek? Amalek is the difference between lois sishtachav el acher to Hashem echad. That teeny little dot. That's the whole chilek in Amalek. They take the dot from echad and they put it in acher. It represents the concept of casting sphikos in the person's mind that Hashem is not in existence. It's a teeny little Dakos Shabadakos, like a thorn. That's the essence of Amalek. It's not big major battles. Amalek, what? It's the Cold War. It's nuclear missiles. That's not Amalek. Apikorsis. Teeny, teeny Dakos Shabadakos. Another example. Hashem, what does Yitzhak say to Esav? Esav says to Yitzhak, Borcheni Ovi Gamoni, give me a bracha. Don't you have a bracha? So Yitzhak says to Esav, listen, V'hoya kasher torid, uforakto ulo me'al tzavarecha. When your brother, when he will descend, torid means to go down, when he will be a sin, then you will have shlita to remove the yoke off his neck. So the Mefarshim explain, I think it's a rakech, what is torid? Tachas Reish Yaseh Dalet. The whole, what Esav is the forefather of Amalek. Amalek is a descendant of Esav. Torid means to descend. They will sin. But it's Rosh Tevos, Tof, it's Tachas, Reish, Yaseh, you will make Dalet. When you will exchange Tachas, Reish, Yaseh, Dalet, Then Amalek has succeeded. That is the koyach of Amalek. I'm not sure. I saw this from a secondhand source in the Rav Yechiel Michal Stern Sefer on the Aleph base. So I'm not sure.
If you switch door, you get raped.
What?
If you switch door around, you get raped.
Raid. Oh, another example. Hashem says to Moshe when they worship the eagle, Leich, raid. But this is a very funny expression, Leich Raid, because by the eagle, it's exactly what they did. It's exactly, what's the eagle? Hashem is out. No more Hashem. Hashem is Acher. He was good in the beginning, but he's gone. He's out. Who's now? The eagle, the calf. Lo sishtachaveh. Don't bow down, lekel Acher. Meaning they exchange. Lo sishtachaveh lekel Echad. Instead, we're going to bow down to the eagle. Mil Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what's going on this earth? Klal Yisrael have sinned. They've actually made that exchange. They're no longer considering HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Echad. Instead, they're not bowing down to Hashem. They're bowing down to the eagle. Mil Moshe, Leich Raid, you also descend. Hashem is Merames. There are many ways, there are a million ways you can tell Moshe Rabbeinu to that's it, it's over. It's curtains. There are many ways to say it. Why did Hashem express it in the term of Leich Reid? It's because of this concept of the exchange of the Reish and the Dal. So it's a very, I think it's, those are all the pretty much the Muslim, but it's a very fascinating concept to take the Dal, these two psukim are viewed together. The difference is Dakos Shebedakos. Again, we have to remember, not like our Dal is written today in the Sefer Torah. That's only a minog, a chumrah to have that extra extension. It's a very small difference. The Zviv is a Molek. Don't make these exchanges. Dardar, Dordor, the Zviv. Yorkasher Torit, Leich Reid. These are all the various Shemazim in this of this idea. Let me just make sure I got them all. Yeah, I think I got them all. Okay. Now, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is just Rosh Prakim. What is in Shema? There are really two letters in Shema that are large. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So the Dalet is large, and the Ayin of Shema is large. So what's the significance? So there are basically three approaches. One approach is eight. That when you say Shema, when you're covering your eyes, saying Shema, there is a degree of testimony. Now that's what that eight. Ayin Dalet. Who's saying testimony? So now you can branch off into many different directions. Either we're saying testimony, we are issuing a statement. What's the pasuk about the brachas? Add they add.
The Shvatim.
Yeah.
Say,
testimony, right? He also Yidlochem Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When Yaakov, very good. When Yaakov wants to give the bracha to Klai Yisrael, so the Shechina departs. So what do they do? Why is the Shechina? So Yaakov says you're not worthy. So what do they say to the father? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We testify before you. We're all Maminim. We're all believers. So the whole pasuk of Shema Yisrael, in fact, was a testimony by the Shvatim Eidus that we are Neman. So according to Eid, we are saying testimony. Other Mepharshim learn is that Yaakov Avinu, our forefather in heaven, he is saying testimony for us. He is our advocate. He is the aid in heaven. He is the test. He is the witness that we are faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or some say that Hashem is the witness. Hashem, you are Shema Hashem Echad. Hashem, you're the witness that we are faithful. Okay, so the point I want to make is that the Dalet is not to be alone. The Dalet has a partner, the Ayin, aid, and the one that's saying testimony is either we're saying testimony, Hashem is saying testimony, or Yaakov Yisrael is saying testimony. There's another approach. The other approach is it means until. Until, and what it means is that we're saying we are alluding, the Ayin Dal alludes, there are a number of psukim in Nach that use the word ad in reference to the geula. Let me give you
ad also means
forever. Yeah. Until, so let me just give you the pasuk ad yikoine ad yikoine the ad yosim yushalayim tehila baretz. Okay, so the pasuk referring to the coming of the geula, and they use the word ad twice. And the word ad there means until. That we are faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until the Ketz HaYamin, basically, until the end of days. We are faithful ad yikoinein, until the Mikdash will be established. The ad, and until Yosim Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim will be a tehillah of Eretz, a praise in the world. So the word ayin dalet does not only mean aid, it's at, until we have a faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, achakelo b'chol yom sheyavah, until the end of days, our faith is complete. It's another approach. Adayat, forever. It means forever, right? Adayat, very good. So it means that we're faithful forever. That's another reason. A third approach is that the words are not to be read ayin dalet, but it's to be read da. Opposite direction. Dalet ayin. And that's based on the pasuk of da es elokei avicha ve'avdehu. What are you saying? Shema Yisrael. What does it mean, Shema? Hearken. It doesn't mean hearken only. It means understand. It means da. So in order no one should make a mistake and have a shallow interpretation of Shema, listen, Shema means da. And where is da expressed? It's expressed in the pasuk da es elokei avicha ve'avdehu. And this Shema Yisrael, it fits perfectly with the theme of listen, Yisrael, our forefather, Da'as Elokei Avicha V'Yavdehu, and that's another reason why. So it's a kantal. You say Kriya Shema, it's not just listening, there's more to it. Okay, so basically these are three approaches. It's either aid, testimony, it's ad, it's eternal, our faith is eternal, or it's to remind us, pay attention. Not just Shema, Da. Know exactly what's going on. Then there are all these Ramazim Dalet. Why the big Dalet? There are four simonim when they say Kriya Shema. A lot of different Ramazim which I did not prepare, but there's like a long list of Ramazim on the letter Dalet. What are you supposed to think about when you say Dalet? Simply supposed to think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is on all four corners of the world. There's no Malkut Melech or Tzkavod, all four corners of the world. And with regard to Kriya Shema, there are many different fours that can be found in Kriya Shema. Okay, so I didn't really go into that. There's a few other short things is that in the Gemara tells us the third letter of the Greek alphabet is called Gamma.
Gamma.
How do you write a Gamma? Like a upside down Dalet. That's what it says. It could be, you know, there are different versions of a gamma. There are different versions of the Greek alphabet. It changed over time, so it's not exactly perfect. But the Rambam explicitly says that a gamma, the third letter of the Greek alphabet, it has the tsura of a backwards Dalet. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam actually illustrates this when you have a sukkah that has only two walls. It's puzzle. And the way he illustrates the sukkah with two walls, kimin gamma, like a gamma. So it's very interesting is that Yafta Lakim Liyafis Vishkun Boholeshain is that we incorporate a lot of Greek into Chazal.
Yes.
We have an obligation. And where they come together is Gimel Dalit. Because Gimel and the Dalit, the third letter, their third letter is equal to our fourth letter. I don't know the significance of this, but it's also something very interesting. The main reason I want to point out is because the Mefarshim said, why did the Rambam not say make a sukkah like a dalit? Why did the Rambam say make a sukkah like a gamma? So it's because the letters of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, are sacred. They're so sacred you cannot use them as examples to describe forms. And therefore, when the Rambam wanted to describe a form of a 90-degree angle, the Rambam refused to belittle, to desanctify, be mezalzel in the kedusha of the Dalit, and therefore he resorted to the Greek letter gamma, even though it's identical in form to the letter. So it illustrates the sanctity. It's a fascinating insight. The letters of the alphabet are sacred. There are many people that are very mockery, not allowed to use the ksav ashuris for unholy purposes, like even like invitations and things like that. Okay, so we're not machmir on this, but there is definitely a degree of sanctity. You see this beautiful idea in the Rambam of the Gamma, the Dalit, the sanctity. And what's interesting is that there must be some relation, because the Gimel, in Chazal, the Gimel don't always go together. Gimel Dalit, Chazal, the set. Gimel Dalit, be gracious to the poor. Dalit represents Dal poor. Gimel Dalit, be gracious to the poor. They go together. And there is a certain degree of partnership, whatever that means, a very dangerous term, for Yavon and Klal Yisrael. Yafel Kim Liyavis V'yishkoim Bohol Eshein. And these two are in Surah the same. But flip, the in Surah, the basic form is the same. And here, their third letter is coming together with our fourth letter. Again, you see this set of three and four again, appears once again. Okay. One other interesting thing, Dalit, what does it mean Dalit? The actual word of Dalit means Delos, the door. Okay, what else is Dalit? Dalit also is Delos. The way the Zohar refers to Delos means Dal poor, you have nothing. Delos lay me delay klum, you have nothing of your own. Okay. But what's very interesting is the word Dalit appears for the first time in Chazal. The word Delos, spy by your stone. When the Malachim came, the people wanted to kill Lot. The Malachim took Lot, they put him, by Yisra had Delos Bado. The Delos is protection. The concept of Delos, anything, the first time something appears in the Torah is the we find its significance, its depth. The first time the concept of Delos, which is Dalit. Dalit is Delos. The essence of Dalit is Delos. That's how you spell it. The first time we find this in the Torah is where the door is used as an object of protection. By Yisker HaDelos Bado. You close the door. You have a bias. Bias is shelter, but a bias is vulnerable. You can go into it, build a shelter. You're vulnerable. You need to close the door. The door is where you have all the expensive locksmith to provide protection. Delos represents protection. Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mentioned before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the Dalit. Now Shemona Esrei, when we focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah Hashem B'chochoismen, Mogein Avram. A Delos, to a certain degree, is similar in concept to a shield. It's our protection. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. Everything we find in Chazal is all about Dalit, 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 Yitzis Mitzrayim. Dalit is Delos. Delos is to protect our vulnerabilities. We can shelter ourselves the best that we can. You can build a bias, but you have to get in the bias. Getting in the bias has to be a Pesach. And once you get in the bias, you have to close off that opening. That opening has to be closed with a Delos. That Delos represents the protection of our vulnerabilities. This, to some degree, is something very significant about the letter Dalit. I think I got everything. One other just quick thing is that I told you the Dalit. What?
I Separation.
The bias is a separation, but it's more than just separation. This is also a protection of vulnerabilities. There's one other very cute little thing that we have. I talked about the large dalid. There's a small dalid. The small dalid appears in. Well, some hold that there's a large dalid. The words Kehelis, Divrei Kehelis Ben David. Some have a very large dalid meaning of Kehelis. Divrei, the first dalid of Kehelis, is a large dalid. Divrei Kehelis Ben David. Divrei Kohelas Ben David Melech. So the Dalit Divrei is large. There's and where's your small Dalit? Pasukim Mishlei. Pasukim Mishlei says it's discussing murder. Adam Oshak Bedam Nefesh. A person is guilty through murder. Ad Bo Yonos Al Yisnchu Bo. He'll suffer for the hate of murder his whole life. Pasuk describes murder. And there, where it describes the guilt of murder, the dalit, the murderer, has a small dalit. It's the only place in the entire Tanakh where Adam. There are two different versions. One version is that the dalit of Adam is small. Another version is bidam, Adam bidam. The dalit of the word bidam is small. Pasukim Mishlei Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Yud Zayin Adam Oshak Bedam Nefesh. If a person is guilty because of the sin of murder, Ad Bo Yonos, until he runs into the grave, Al Yismechu Bo, no one's going to help him. He's going to be always pursued. The theme of the pasuk is murder, and there's a small dalit. Question is the small dalit in the al in the Adam or in the word Bedam? So what's the significance? So I saw in this interesting sefer, this also comes from, no, this is not from the Rokeach. I'm not sure where this comes from. No, it comes from the Oisios Rabbi Akiva, the Medrash. Okay, this is the Medrash, so I'm really safe for this. Oisios Rabbi Akiva, he says, why is there a small dalid in this pasuk that describes the chait of murder? Because when one person murders someone else, you're not murdering one person, you're not killing one person, you're killing four people, four groups of people. You're killing the victim is dead, you're killing his wife, you're killing his children, and you're killing his grandchildren. It says in the Medrash. So the chait of murder is not just limited to the victim, it's a dalit. Four people have been diminished through the chait of Ritzicha. The victim's wife, who is a survivor, but she doesn't have a husband anymore. Children, and the next generation, the grandchildren, or the would-be grandchildren, or the would-be children. So this, it emphasized the severity. That's the only small dalit b'chol haTorah kula. One's loose end. Yeah.
The murderer as a human being.
Himself.
Yeah.
Interesting, like he doesn't say that. It sounds as the Medrash, but that would be number five. You diminish yourself. But referring to the effect, the cause that you have on others. Oh, one other thing that's left out, just very similar, is that the Dalit is interchanged in Targum with the Zayin. Like I mentioned, being that a Dalit is really a valid. So you have, for example, you have a whole number... Dehav. Instead of saying Zehav, gold, Dehav. The other examples, I have to give me one to tell you other examples, just a few other short examples. There are many examples. Zohar. Wolf. To remember. Zohar, Dekar. Zohar, Zayin Chofresh, to remember. Dekar. Instead of the Zayin, a Dalit. Mizbeach. Instead of a Zayin, Midbicha. Okay, there are many examples. Lo yizach ha-choyshen, choyshen shana yizach. Lo yidach. Interchange. In many places in Tanakh, you have this interchanging between a zayin and a zayin and a dalit. Because it's not really a dalit, it's really a valid. And a valid is similar to a zayin. They're very similar expressions. And in appearance, we have Jewish where we need to change a dal and a resh because they look so similar. We had in Daf Yomi as long ago, v'hadorcha tzalach, al tikri v'hadorcha ela chadodcha tzalach. We need to change the hey with the ches because they look so similar, and we need to change the resh with the dalit. So from hador, it becomes chadad. Chadad, if you sharpen your chadida, if you sharpen yourself in learning, you will be successful. So we have in Jewish, you can get to change these things as well. Because that pretty much covers what I wanted to share with you with regard to the dalit, and now we're off to the hay.